Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, November 1st, 2014. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. Some war veterans warn that there will be violence before and after the ZANU-PF Congress if the party fails to properly handle its current internal crisis.
The concerns of the war veterans, I am one of them, is the same. We wanted to have a fairly orderly succession.
The Zimbabwe chapter of the Media Institute of Southern Africa says the country should come out with sustainable radio station models as the economy cannot support many stations.
There are so many models across the world on how best to sustain a public broadcaster. How do you sustain commercial broadcasters, private commercial broadcasters? How do you sustain community broadcasters?
And today we feature once again a former Bundu Boys musician who says the band members have not been honored in Zimbabwe. Stay tuned. Some war veterans, including party chairman Rukare Kumbo, say the party needs to put its act together as some heavyweights are currently forcing Vice President Joyce Mujuru to resign. They claim that she is corrupt and not capable of being a vice president. Her rival faction, said to be led by Emmerson Mnangagwa, who is the justice minister, is also eyeing the presidential post. Mr. Mugabe, who is 90 years old, is believed to be now serving his last term of office. Mr. Kumbo dismisses suggestions that factionalism and violence will cripple the party.
We are a sufficiently disciplined party. Yes, we may have some renegades, certain elements that may want to disturb the peace and the stability of the party. But I think we will acquit ourselves well.
And we have been talking to some war veterans who are saying they are actually worried about what is happening in the party. Now, what do you think about issues to do with succession that they are talking about? They are saying this should have been done long back. What's your reaction?
The concerns of the war veterans, I am one of them, is the same. We wanted to have a fairly orderly succession, but the party has been constrained and we didn't do it. I personally don't live in the past. I wanted to see what is happening now.
That was ZANU-PF spokesman Rukare Kumbo speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. But war veteran Oke Ndlovu insists that ZANU-PF has already split as the Mujuru and Mnangagwa factions are fighting for the control of the party ahead of the elective Congress.
They have split already. But now, who's going to say no? If you die without a will as a father, there are going to be a conflict between the family. This is now what is happening now. Because the father has failed to secure what you call a document, which shows who's going to lead the people after my death. I pray for the president not to pass away before the Congress, for him to see what he has done to this Zimbabwe.
So what are your predictions? What is going to happen?
My predictions, as I say, is that I am seeing a danger in front of me because this conflict is touching all over the country. I thank you. This vice president for not reacting. If she was going to react like what Mrs. Mugabe was doing, unfortunately, I'm seeing a danger. But I know there are going to be a reaction later on. They are watching. I think they are very intelligent enough. And if you can just watch and see with your eye, a whole eye, you can see that there are some people who are powerful. And they are silent. I can see them saying, the former defense minister, Susan Sekeramani, it's bad. What is he thinking about? He's not even talking about. They don't even talk about him.
That was war veteran Oke Ndlovu speaking with Studio 7 from Wenlock, Matabele South Province. ZINASU spokesman Avoid Masiraha says ZANU-PF and MTCT should hold peaceful congresses.
We are encouraging all our political parties, the MDC and the ZANU-PF, since they are going for their congresses, we are encouraging them to hold their congresses in peace. It has become a norm here in Zimbabwe that whenever parties are going for congresses, they engage in violence. But we don't support violence. We as the students, and we are just expecting that they are going to have peaceful congresses.
So are you in any way having any of your members that are participating in these congresses?
He has been invited by the MDC to participate in their congresses, but we are not going to participate in terms of voting, but we are just going to oversee the congress. So we are going there as a sort of referees of their congress, the same way that CTU is going there. We are just going there to oversee the congress.
That was the NASU spokesman Avoid Masiraga speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. The Zimbabwe chapter of the Media Institute of Southern Africa says the country should come out with sustainable radio station models that are likely to be supported by a stagnant economy. Director Nhlanhla Ngwenya tells Studio 7 Zimbabweans are capable of running commercial and radio community radio stations, though the economy can affect their operations. He says foreign funding is needed to run these stations.
There are so many models across the world on how best to sustain a public broadcaster. How do you sustain commercial broadcasters, private commercial broadcasters? How do you sustain community broadcasters? You know, there are some models like the MDDA in South Africa, which is partly civil society and public government, where government injects some funds to ensure that they sustain community broadcasters. So we need to think outside the box. We need not be arrested by our economic malaise. So I think there are opportunities so long as there is willingness to engage around these issues. All stakeholders, there are consultative processes that are put in place around these issues.
Now, looking at the foreign kind of ownership of the media in Zimbabwe, we know that, of course, foreigners can pour in money in the media. But at the end of the day, this is at the discretion of the minister. Is that not a sore thumb?
It is important that we also include in our discussion, such kind of a setup. Remember, we as the Media Freedom Lobby Group have always, if you look at where we are coming from as Mr. Zimbabwe, we have always called for transparent, open regulatory framework. We have always said we can only guarantee this transparency, accountability, and open regulatory framework if you place the regulation under the oversight of Parliament. Yes, Parliament at the moment invites the Minister of Information, invites various broadcasting regulatory boards and interrogates all those bodies on issues relating to their mandate. But what we are saying is we need to review our structures. We need to review our regulatory boards.
That was Mr. Zimbabwe Director Nhlanhla Ngwenya speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. An estimated 300,000 students graduate each year from Zimbabwe's universities and colleges. But with high unemployment due to company closures and general economic stagnation, degree holders and the unemployed are being challenged to create the jobs they want rather than wallow in poverty as they wait for the perfect job.
What our young people are trying to do is to be ready to get a job and be employed by somebody else in an environment where, even in the Western world, being employed is a difficult task. It is a lot better and a lot more enriching to be innovative and to start something new.
Tune in next week for this two-part series on the challenges of being capable, educated, but jobless. UNICEF Zimbabwe says it is upping its efforts to improve the lives of children, mostly in Zimbabwe's rural areas, under its cash transfer program. The program has since expanded to reach struggling urban households. Reporter Tatenda Kumbo speaks with Leon Mwani, a child protection specialist at UNICEF, about the program.
Currently, the first 10 districts are actually undergoing that process of retargeting, which basically is going back and doing another household census and checking whether they vowed their households, which have newly become more vulnerable, which need to be added onto the program, and if they are households which can be exited from the program, mainly possibly because they are no longer labor constrained.
How important has this program been for those who were chosen? Is it assisting them? And as you're pointing out with the retargeting, are you seeing that households are able to come out of this cash transfer program to assist themselves?
I can say yes and no. Yes, in terms of generally, if the program is helping beneficiaries, at least, you know, in terms of addressing their poverty, certainly quite significantly. We have an ongoing impact evaluation, which is essentially looking at the impact of the transfers on individual household across a range of outcomes, which essentially indicated that the transfers are helping households, particularly in terms of, you know, increasing food availability in the home, but also, you know, increasing availability of even non-food requirements.
That was Leon Mwoni, a child protection specialist at UNICEF Zimbabwe, speaking with Student 7 from Harare. And now it's time for the Women's Forum with Marvelous.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women, hosted by Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington. We are lucky to have with us Hope Masike, a young female musician whose instrument of choice is the mbira. Hope is visiting in the United States under a cultural exchange program between America and Zimbabwe called One Beat. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Hope.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me today.
Tell us a little bit about the program that brings you here to America.
The program that brought me here is called One Beat. And One Beat is an exchange program that has a very strong thrust on cultural diplomacy. So it's musicians from 17 different countries, 25 different musicians who are in camp for a while exchanging ideas, rehearsing, recording.
So what would you say you have learned here in the United States that you hope to take back to Zimbabwe?
I have learned the importance of learning and appreciating one's culture from their country, because that is what makes us different, and that is also a very neutral and interesting ground for us to start dialogue on many other things. So I've learned the importance of mastering our cultures and sharing the cultures with different people.
And how many representatives are on this program from Zimbabwe?
So it's just two of us. It's me and a young gentleman called Blessing Chimang.
And also, we see in Zimbabwe not so much support is given to young aspiring artists or young children that want to become artists. Has this changed? Because I remember when I was growing up, obviously, if you wanted to say you wanted to be a singer, you were not supported. Has this changed at all?
It's changing. Of course, you still find some understand that someone can have a very wonderful career, a very successful career in arts and culture. But many families now are beginning to change. Many parents now understand and appreciate that music can be a worthy career for their children also. We do a lot of work trying to educate the children themselves and their parents more about the music industry.
And what words of advice would you have for some young, aspiring, especially young girls that want to join the music industry?
I always say it is very important to research all the time. When you're interested in something, find out more about it. Do not wait for information to come to you. So always be learning about the music industry in other countries, how other musicians did what, and always be learning about your instrument so that you improve and you're different from other people.
What made you decide to concentrate on playing the mbira? Did you grow up listening to it, or why did you choose that as
your instrument of choice? I didn't grow up with mbira, but when I was in college doing fine arts, one of my lecturers had a friend who played mbira, and he used to just play for us for free. So one day we asked him to teach us, and he said, it's okay, as long as you buy your instrument, then I will teach you. So that was my introduction to mbira. And then when I started playing it, I loved it very much because it is a soothing feeling. The lyrics are very profound, and a lot of our history in Zimbabwe is embedded in our mbira music. And when I started playing it, there were fewer women playing mbira, or fewer people even playing mbira commercially. So it appealed to me because of that.
And you have been likened to the likes of the late Shoniso Marayire. How do you feel about that?
I would say it's a huge honor to be likened to her. She was a great musician. She inspired many of us, and she still continues to inspire a lot of people. For my music to be likened to her is a big thing. It's an honor. So I like it when people liken my music to hers. However, I try to craft my music in a different way. So much as I play Nyunga Nyunga just like her, I've tried to take my music into other music spaces. And I'm sure for those who listen to my music, they will surely appreciate that.
time is not on our side. Thank you, Hope Masike, for having been our guest on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women.
Thank you so much for having me on the program.
The Women's Forum was hosted by Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye in Washington.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye. And in sports news, Dynamos clash with lowly rated Bantu Rovers tomorrow in the Castellaga Premier Soccer League. In other matches, Buffaloes vs. Caps United, Our Mine clash with Chapungu, Triangle vs. Wange, and Black Rhinos take on Shabani Mine. Highlanders vs. Chiredzi on Monday. And tonight we feature former Pundu Boys star Rise Kakona, who speaks to Studio 7's Chonga Kandemiri about the group, which collapsed a couple of years ago.
It was my way. I think Zimbabwe should make a monument of us, because really we went through countries which never any African band has been there. In the 80s, the reggae was massive. And I think we're in the right moment, because people were bombarded with their English stuff and they wanted something different. And we were right there. Ourselves were even scared to play to these white audiences. Well, you know, the life of black and white people in Zimbabwe, living separate lives. So we also thought, maybe if they can't appreciate our music in Africa, how are they going to appreciate it here? But you know, every time we went on a gig, they would act just like one family on the stage. It was brilliant.
After all this success, has the band anything to show for that success?
That's what I was trying to say, that, you know, I don't know why we missed the medals or such a thing. Maybe it's because of our skin color, I don't know. But even back home, no one ever thought of giving us a medal for putting Zimbabwe on the map all over the world. No one. You know, we only hear from young people saying, oh, you opened our eyes, you know, you did this very well. All recommendation coming from the provo itself. But our government, our officials in music industry, they never do anything to just appreciate what we have done. So I don't know where our legacy is going to be like, you know. Already some of my boys are no more, but the name is still there, still blooming around.
But what led to the collapse of the Bundu Boys, Mr. Kakona?
Well, not knowing where you mean, because there were two collapses. A lot of people think when Big left, that was a collapse. It wasn't a collapse, because we carried on until 2002. We were five in the first place. When Big left in 1989, we carried on as four people. And we still ventured into many countries without him. Then in 2002... that was because of management, the way the management started behaving. I think the other guys didn't agree with what was going on.
Thanks very much, Jonga Kandemiri, for that interview with Bundu Boys former star Rise Kakona. Now to recap today's top stories. Some war veterans warn that there will be violence before and after the ZANU-PF Congress if the party fails to properly handle its current crisis. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gandhi. This is Gibbs Dube in Washington, D.C. Wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.